Michigan has selected the names of 13 citizens for the job of redrawing the state's political maps. The drawing happened on a live stream in mid-August. This is a process that was set in motion in 2018, when voters approved a brand new method by which laypersons, not party bosses or office holders, would do the work of redrawing congressional districts. Now, 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats, and 5 independents have been chosen. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson is here to talk more about the commission's work. Secretary Benson, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So the commission is drawing up boundaries that will apply for the first time in the 2022 election cycle. What's their first task?
That's right. Well, the first task is getting everyone together. We will have our first meeting in mid-September. And I'm really just thrilled to be able to connect and meet all of these randomly selected commissioners who will be a part of Michigan's history. They will meet with a number of experts, people who have done this work in the past in Michigan and are familiar with the federal law as well nationwide. And we just want to put them in front of as many people and get them as much information as possible so that they can then be empowered to make the decisions they'll have to make independently moving forward to prepare our maps for the future.
The decisions that the commission must make are to be based on census data, and there have been problems conducting the census in a pandemic year. Detroit's response rate is still below 50% as we're having this conversation, and the Trump administration has shortened the Census Bureau's timeline by, I believe, about 30 days. Will the census be able to deliver the information the commission needs?
I hope so. We've certainly been advocating for that. And it is challenging because so much is out of our control in that regard. I mean, people can still control their responses to the census, and we want to encourage everyone while they can to respond. But one of the things that we now have to plan for is that we will be getting the data later than we expected, but the commission will still have to submit their maps by November of next year.
Well, how does that,
as much time.
How does that change the commission's work?
Well, they won't have as much time to consider maps, look at the data, because you can't really draw a district map until you know the number of people in the district. And you won't have that data until perhaps mid-2021, as opposed to in January 2021. And when the deadline is still November 2021 for our maps, that just shortens the timeline in which they'll have the window in which the commission will have to draw the lines.
Right. Are you satisfied the makeup of the commission will do justice to where our population lies?
I am thrilled with the makeup of the commission. I mean, that said, I don't know any of the commissioners yet. I have not met them. But just reading their background and reading the press coverage and the interviews that have been done, this is truly some well-intentioned individuals, all understanding and really committed to the goals of the voters who created the Citizens Commission to begin with, making sure it's independent, citizen-led, transparent. And so I'm very optimistic now, having connected with and identified these 13 individuals, that they're up to the task. And we'll be, working with them. I'm the secretary without a vote on the commission. I'm basically the administrator to make sure they've got everything they need to do their jobs. But I'm excited to sit back and watch what they do.
I did have a question about that. I'm not sure if I weren't paid to pay attention to politics, if I would necessarily know where to start. The commission can hire statisticians and other nonpartisan experts to advise them. These are not people who spend a ton of time in Lansing. How will they know who to call? Do you think that they will be relying on your office exclusively for their information?
I don't think they will be relying on our office exclusively for information, because even in the first meeting that we are hosting with them, we're going to be putting them in front of the national experts in the redistricting world and the folks in the state who've been doing this work for quite some time. So we're trying to connect them with the people who've done this in the past so that they don't need to recreate the wheel, but it's then up to them as to, once they have the information, how to proceed. And that's really, I think, the goal of a truly independent commission.
As a public body, are their meetings subject to open meeting laws?
Yes. And in fact, the commission is required to have at least 15 town halls all across the state next year, taking testimony and listening to citizens about their views on what they want the districts to look like. And then once they draw the maps, there's a period for public comment as well. So I'm very optimistic that these commissioners, again, are up to the task of engaging the public, and all of their communications, all of their meetings will be open to the public as a result.
Do you have concerns that the commission's going to have to meet remotely for at least the foreseeable future?
I do, and I think there are ways, and we're finding ways to build connections and still get work done. And in some cases, the fact that the commissioners are from all across the state, meeting remotely may be a more efficient way, regardless of the pandemic, for them to operate at least for the foreseeable future, as you say. So I don't think that's going to slow down the work. I'm much more concerned about the release of the census data than anything else. But that is, you know, we're not the only state that is dealing with that. And, you know, I'm sure that we'll find ways to still get the work done. The commission will, at least, you know, in light of those challenges.
Secretary Benson, while we've got you, this week it was announced the state would work with Wayne County for preparedness on the November general election. Can you tell us anything more about what that relationship will look like?
Well, yes. And as a voter and as a resident of the city of Detroit, I'm committed to ensuring that our elections are safe, secure, and accessible, not just statewide, but in our largest jurisdiction in the city of Detroit. But what we've done is, with the clerks and under the clerk's leadership, brought together not just my office, but civic leaders, our sports teams, our county officials, all to meet the needs of the city in this very challenging election cycle that we found, I think the city knows, no one can go it alone successfully. So with that, we were able to work with the city to catalog many of the challenges that it encountered, not just in August, but in the past, and provide solutions or develop solutions and provide resources to execute and implement those solutions. For example, we're opening satellite clerk offices all around the city. Instead of 7, there will be 24. We're installing drop boxes for people to return their ballots across the city. Instead of 2, as there were in August, there will be close to 40. We're also going to be doing more educational sessions as well, doing everything we can to ensure ballots are counted accurately, improving training and recruiting more election workers. So it's all hands on deck. That's the bottom line, and we're all in this together, and we're going to succeed.
Right. President Trump encouraged his supporters in North Carolina to vote twice in November, once by mail and once in person, to test the system's reliability and fairness. I saw Attorney General Nessel tweeting, "Don't try this at home. I will prosecute you." How would Michigan catch that if someone did choose to try to vote twice?
Well, importantly, our election system has been stress tested by 3 elections already this year. And in all of them, voting by mail has been proven to be absolutely safe and secure, even in record numbers. And that's because we do have protections in place to ensure election officials track and verify every ballot they send and receive. And in every instance, works to ensure that only one person gets only one vote. And then if there's any irregularities, we work with the Attorney General's office to investigate and prosecute. The signature match is a key component of that. Every voter must sign an application just to get a ballot. And then once you have a ballot, in order for it to be counted, you must sign the envelope that it's returned in. And that signature must match the signature we have on file. And then you only get to do that once. It's uploaded immediately into our database, into our voter file that you have voted as soon as that ballot is verified and tabulated. And so there's really no option for 2 votes from one person. The second vote would be invalidated, however it's received, or, you know, any alternative votes. And I should emphasize, we don't ever see that happening, but if it happened, we would catch it.
Just one last question. I know your office has been extremely busy dealing with a deluge of people trying to renew tabs and licenses and state IDs by September 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Do your staff even know how many vehicle registrations might be expired overdue? I mean, is there even a ballpark
yes.
number?
Well, yes, we've been tracking that. And, you know, importantly, every year, about 90% of vehicle registrations are renewed by this time. And we're at just under that at 84%, at least in the numbers I've recently seen. So importantly, people can renew their vehicle tabs over the mail, over online, or at one of our our kiosks at Meijer's and Kroger's or at any branch office self-service station. You don't need an appointment to renew your vehicle tabs. And so we want people to know that. They don't need to come into our branch office to renew their tabs. And that's mostly the case with driver's licenses and state IDs as well. And for the cases where you do have to come in person, we have opened our branch offices 2 hours extra every day. And there are, those appointments are available right now. We've released 200,000 more appointments through the end of September just for folks who need to renew their licenses in person.
What should people do if they're feeling nervous about either what's going on with the Postal Service right now or whether their precinct's going to have enough volunteers to really keep the vote running smoothly?
Well, yes, the most important thing, and we've talked a lot about our plans that we're doing to ensure everyone, every voter receives their ballots and can return them on time. But just as we have our plans, voters need to have plans as well. And one of the best things voters can do right now is plan, not based on deadlines, but when things start. And meaning you can request to vote by mail or your absentee ballot in Michigan right now. And clerks will begin sending out ballots or having them available in their offices for early voting on September 24th. So know that and make a plan to vote and ensure that your voice is heard this year.
Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Take care.